We welcome in Paul Feinbaum of ESPN and the FCC Network.
Lift it, load it, grade it, drive it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it. Craneworks, Craneworks, yeah, the big dog's got it. Paul Feinbaum.
Lift it, load it, grade it, grind it, move it, haul it, rig it, dig it. Craneworks, Craneworks, yeah, the big dog's got it.
Paul Feinbaum on Mac and Cube in the Morning is brought to you by Craneworks. Lift it, buy it, rent it, the big dog's got it. Now, Paul Feinbaum.
You just need a little more bass in your voice there, G-Mac, and you'd have been fine.
Could have done it.
Paul, great to have you with us. Go ahead.
Hold on. Is that guy McElroy replacing Rihanna at the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, yeah. Could happen.
He might be our new voiceover guy.
There you go. And, I can pronounce my name right, unlike the voiceover guy, so that's big.
Paul, what were your thoughts just coming off of that Auburn-Missouri game? I feel like we set football back at least a decade in the middle of that football game and towards the end of that game. But did you leave feeling better about anything with either of those two teams?
I was watching that game on a plane at 32,000 feet, which is good in this sense because there's nowhere to go. I mean, I don't know what I would have done had I been in the stadium in the Auburn section or even worse, on the Missouri sideline. There's nothing else I can add in terms of the ineptitude, but I just came away really depressed about both programs and the future of both programs. And, you know, to me, the Brian Harsin conversation has nowhere to go. I mean, it's over for Brian Harsin. He has made no compelling argument to keep his job. And you can celebrate a win and scream War Eagle, guys, but watch his coaching during that game. It was sad. And on the other sideline, why waste the time?
Paul, when you look at just their inability to, and look, I know Brian Harsin's going to be to blame. He is the coach of this year's team. But the lack of talent on this roster is alarming, yeah. Specifically a quarterback, specifically at other spots. How did it get so bad? Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like Gus Malzahn was that bad as far as the recruiting is concerned.
Yeah, Malzahn had moments, and I think he was able to get some really difference-maker players on that roster, as we all know. But I think ultimately with Malzahn, it caught up to him at the end. His recruiting trailed off, and I think as Georgia became a juggernaut on top of Alabama, and you know, LSU's always made a difference, it just became more difficult. And I think his last year or two, Greg, as you know, the recruiting had tailed off, and some of it had to do with the knowledge that Harsin, excuse me, got the wrong coach, that Malzahn was on his way out. And then I think you compound it with just an abominable recruiting approach the last 2 years. And I think, you know, for all the reasons that you should get rid of Brian Harsin or not, I think recruiting is really where it's at. Before I got rid of him, I would say, we've seen you coach for 2 years. We've seen your recruiting plan. How is that different today and moving forward as we head toward December and ultimately February for those who did not sign in February in December? And I don't think he's got a compelling argument, really. That's what has to change. You can overcome bad coaching decisions if you have a little bit of talent, but there just isn't any talent. And I mean, I realize Auburn was shorthanded from a quarterback standpoint, but I mean, I've never seen, and Greg, you know, you're more 100 times more technical than I could be, but I've never seen less imagination and more sandlot ball than that in my life.
Paul Feinbaum, you can hear him right here on WJOX, 2 to 6 p.m. weekdays. Moving on around the rest of the SEC, where's Jimbo Fisher now in your eyes? He comes back from a loss against App State. He gets a pretty good win against Miami at home. And then he finds a way to knock off a top 10 Arkansas team at a neutral site, now sitting 3-1. How do you view Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher today?
Yeah, I haven't really changed the view. I still have some concerns, a lot of concerns about where this team is this year. And we can't say this too much longer, but the next 2 weeks are really going to tell a lot. If they can get out, I think if they can get out of Mississippi State with a win, then they probably survive the gauntlet before they get to Alabama. And then we know it's at the back end of the year. But it's, again, I think probably the worst coaching room in America today has to be in Fayetteville as Sam Pittman and his staff think about the opportunities that got away and just a blown game. And that's really what that was. But, A&M is still a very flawed team offensively. But in the end, guys, you're judged by how many games you win, not how you win them. And so far, Jimbo Fisher has survived. And again, let's quit talking about that epic win over Miami, okay? I heard that a few times Saturday. What a gutty performance, man! That didn't show anything as we saw in Miami Saturday afternoon. Beating Arkansas is significant, however you beat them.
Paul, a lot of fan bases trying to find the tallest cliff in their respective town. Those in College Station have a difficult time knowing the flat terrain that is that is Texas. But I will say this: a lot of people freaking out with the performance of their team, Kentucky, Georgia, Tennessee. I mean, their fans are freaking out even though they got the win because it wasn't pretty there at the end, especially with the onside kick and the interesting aspects that was there at the very end. Do you have any advice for fans that might have gotten the win but didn't pick up any style points in the process?
Yeah, quit betting on football because I think that's really what's causing a lot of the angst. I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, you should be ecstatic today. You did something that you've only done one time in some students' lifetimes. Celebrate it. I had a friend that somebody.
No. He had a friend.
He did have one at one point. Well, try to get Paul back here in just a moment. See if we can't figure that out. Miami going down to Middle Tennessee, though, it does, I guess, take a little bit away from what that win was. But the fact that you're sitting there having lost to App State and then getting Miami at home, a team that at that point people did think a lot of, it was about what they needed at that point to be able to sort of recharge things. And then you go get a good Arkansas team in Jerry World. So it's, from where they were, it's been a nice little two-week bounce back for Texas A&M. I understand Miami might not be what everybody felt that they were. We have Paul back now on the Bud Light Hotline, brought to us by our friends at Craneworks. You left us with, I have a friend, Paul.
Yeah, well, I do have one. And he was all upset about the Tennessee coaching. And I'm like going, calm down, man. Okay, your coach just walked off the field, a winner at Neyland Stadium against Florida. And, call up Dooley and Butch and Pruitt and see how many other wins these guys could claim in their modern history, and you might want to throw in a couple of others as well. So I frankly thought it was a phenomenal day for Tennessee football. I don't care how it ended. That's a different case than some of the other games we talked about, where a victory was the only thing that mattered.
Yeah, because I think Greg also sort of referencing Georgia fans just not happy with the way that their team looked in a 39-22 win against Kent State.
Yeah, so what? Alabama has been dealing with this, forever. Quit getting hung up on a game. I mean, Georgia fans right now, Cole, are in one of the most dismal stretches of football they're going to see in a long time. And they played Kent State, okay. Well, Missouri this week. Was it Vanderbilt and Auburn or Auburn and Vanderbilt? However that stretch runs, Georgia cumulatively is going to be favored by about a billion points over these next 2 to 3 weeks. And they're going, and they'll have a good game and a bad game. Really, they're not going to be tested. And Kent State just happened to be that team that caught Georgia on an early kick, that they were not overly motivated, and Stetson made some mistakes, and it doesn't mean one thing.
No, you're right. Auburn, Vandy, after the Missouri game, Saturday night on the SEC Network, and then they'll get Florida, Tennessee after that. So we'll see just how interesting it is. I'm with you on that Tennessee win, just what that meant for the program, losing 16 out of the last 17 to Florida, and then being able to find a way. Anthony Richardson obviously did some incredible things, especially on fourth down. And you're able to find a way to win that game. It's that thing should be celebrated heavily, and I thought it was just a fantastic win.
Yeah, I mean, Cole, the fact that people were inching on top of their televisions on Saturday night going, are they going to figure out a way to pull it? I mean, yeah, I mean, that was great for Florida. I think Billy Napier, you know, he's going to have an up-and-down season, but you know, he had his team ready for that. And I think a lot of pundits look past that. I mean, I'm with Tebow every Saturday morning, so I'm always going to get the same. You never can count Florida out. Okay, well, ask some of the last three coaches about that who got fired. But you know, in this case, Florida showed up and they played extraordinarily well, as well as they probably can, considering that they're not exactly the most talented team either.
Finally, Paul, as you look at Alabama, tough to gain a whole lot from the performance against Vanderbilt. Obviously, Texas is a couple weeks removed. A lot of people have circled this game this week against Arkansas as maybe the most difficult, if not the most difficult, certainly in the top two or three most difficult games of the year. Fayetteville will be rocking. Of course, they'll be licking their wounds a little bit as well. But what do you anticipate from the Tide this weekend? They are two touchdown favorites on the road against an Arkansas team that might be reeling a little bit emotionally after giving that one up on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's really where this game is. I think it's going to be a very difficult game for Alabama. I'm particularly interested in how Arkansas handles this loss, because, Greg, you know, you can go a lot of different directions, and I'll spare you the high school coach speak, but in some ways, there's not as much pressure on Arkansas, because I think had they beaten Texas A&M, you very likely were going to get game day on campus, which doesn't mean as much to people like us who understand the mechanics and stuff like that. But it's an added incentive to the fan who makes an all-world game into an out-of-body experience. So I think. Sam Pittman may have caught a – he didn't catch a break by losing. That was a devastating loss. But I think he probably he's not going to – the team's just not going to get lost this week in all the hoopla over the game, because as big as the game is, and it's a huge game, it lost a little bit. So I think that probably helps Arkansas a little bit. Their season is on the line. Their fans are not going to be as carried away as they would have been, which trickles down to the players. And for Alabama, I think they're probably pretty excited about getting an opportunity after a couple of weeks of being second-guessed after the Texas game.
Great stuff, Paul. Always appreciate the time and look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Thanks, guys. See you next week.
Paul Feinbaum of ESPN, the SEC Network, and here right here on WJOX, 2 to 6 p.m. weekdays. He joins us and obviously wraps up the SEC every Monday. He'll be back with us a week from today.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.